they must depend on someone else entirely to reach the pinnacle of their craft. The perfect opponent. All right, welcome back to Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast. This is episode 9. We're still here. My name's Anthony.
It's your boy P.
We are back to talk about one of the biggest fights of the year. It's down to 3 days, man. How you feeling about it?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm hyped. I'm ready.
Yeah, man, because, I mean, everybody's, you know, making their assumptions about the fight, saying this and that about Triple G, you know, or Canelo.
Right, right.
You know, the only way it's going to come down to it when they get in the ring.
Yeah, the only facts are going to be Saturday night.
That's it, facts, for real. So today we're going to be talking about episode 2 of HBO 24/7. And then we're going to go back and make some little, you know, little fight factors, key to victories for both fighters. Let's go ahead and get into episode 2 of 24/7. Again, you know, one of the things I like about this show is the music. You know, as soon as that music comes on, it just gets you, you know. And like I said before, you know, that cinematography, just them shots, they just really make this like not just a boxing match. It's just like some type of warrior movie, you know, as soon as that music comes on. And just watching these guys training. But one of the things about 24/7 that kind of caught my eye was the kind of brotherhood in the camp, both separate camps, you know, Triple G and Canelo. They both have that strong bond with their brothers. And brothers really are pushing them. They really want to see them win. And just having that kind of positive vibe in their camp, it just really helps them kind of stay humble and grounded. Like, you don't really see these guys out there, you know, talking loud in their camp or saying this and that about their next opponent. They respect their opponent because of the way their trainers are really pushing them, and they're giving them honest assessments about themselves and their opponent. So it kind of keeps them humble, man. What'd you think about that?
I definitely agree with it. You know, I thought that was the bond, because the big brothers kind of had to step to the side to allow the little brothers to shine. And I thought that was big, you know, because everybody wants to shine, but for you to step to the side and say, let me let my little brother do his thing and shine. I thought that was a big thing for Canelo's brother, you know? And like he said, obviously I made a good decision, you know what I mean? So, like you say, it's a very well put together show, and this it brings the fighters to life. You know what I mean? It's a glimpse inside their world where you normally don't really get to see that. So, like the fight is just the icing on the cake.
And
so,
yeah, because you know a lot of people they just see the fighters. Before there were shows like this, they just see the fighters and think not much of them. They think this is all they do. No brutes, blood and guts,
unintelligent. You know.
But watching this show, you actually get put in their mindset of how they prepare for a fight, not just training, but how they relax. You know, that's one of the things I like to watch. Like, I like how Triple G relaxes. He's a promoter. Tom Lawler came by and like,
they went out on a pontoon boat, you know, chilling. And it was funny to me because it wasn't like they was in a Caribbean island with blue water on a big yacht. It was a simple pontoon boat. People in North Carolina have them. They go out on them all the time.
Exactly. But
that was very relaxing to Triple G. I was like, dang, this little ride on the boat is really, but it was evidently, you know what I'm saying? I did peep that and thought that was.
Cause like I had my headphones on and I was watching, he just got in and it just makes you relax. It's just like,
he's just sitting back, the simple thing. Back just the
simple thing. Yeah. You know?
And I thought that was pretty cool too. Yeah.
And you know, Canelo, he had his way of relaxing. You know, he goes to horse races.
Yeah, he loves the horses. And meeting that jockey who was a legend, you know, from Mexico too. Yeah. So that was pretty dope too, getting to meet that guy, you know.
And that filled me on something new, like how he compared it to being a boxer. They have to lose weight, which
crazy.
Is something I never thought of. I just thought they get guys that are small to actually get on there. But you actually have to kill yourself to make weight, because I went and researched it.
And the reason I kind of know about that, they said a lot of those guys have fake teeth because they throwing up to make weight.
Wow.
That's how bad it gets, bulimic, you know, anorexic, all that stuff. I was like, wow. You know,
is it like the acid?
Up that much. Yeah. It's crazy. They said it's probably worse than boxing, dude, to be honest, you know, because if you a certain weight, you can't get on that horse.
More
you know?
Like being a supermodel or something.
Along those lines. Wow. It's brutal. They say the mental being a jockey is like crazy. So that was cool.
Yeah.
You know. And you see how articulate that guy was too, and how it just made everything that much more easier. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because he spoke really good English, you know?
Yeah,
he did. To be an older,
guy,
so.
He did, and like.
And I just brought that up because me and Ant, you know, we were talking about, you know, Canelo not being able to speak English. It's not the biggest deal, but I just think that would open up so much more for him if he was able to speak English. I mean, you have some people that is one part of the 24/7s. One show, it was two guys who didn't speak English. I hated that show, Ant. You know what I'm saying? Because it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Like, I can understand why, because you'd want, let's say, I guess this country, Americans, they want to have somebody to relate to. So if they get a person can speak English, they can kind of see more eye to eye, I guess. But for me, I kind of respect his choice to just speak his language. I mean, I still don't really speak Spanish, you know, I just know of some words, but like, it, for me, I could just take time to look at the subtitles. But something you brought up to me, like, not everybody knows how to read.
Yeah, I mean, and then like, or my thing is, you're in America, that's the English, that's the language that we speak. We are your audience. You know, Latin America is not really your audience in America. So I just look at it from that standpoint, but it's not a big deal. But I just thought that when, you know, that guy spoke fluent English, it just made the whole scene that much smoother. You know what I mean? You didn't have to wait for a third party person to say what this guy said or take time to read. It's just smooth. You know what I mean? It's just a lot cleaner. But it is what it is. It ain't no big deal, man. It don't take nothing from the man. But he's young. It would be a lot easier for him to learn it right now. Well, not a lot easier, but, you know, he's a younger man, so.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things, another interesting thing about this one is a question that you kind of, you texted it to me. You just texted it to me in different words, but it was brought up to Abel Sanchez, and that question was, did Canelo and his team see, like, a gleam of hope after that questionable decision in people's eyes between Golovkin and Jacobs? Do you think that he took the fight because of what he saw in that decision?
I honestly think that he did. And, you know, like I say, Canelo was a businessman. He makes a lot of money. So, I mean, he's basing decisions on monetary things also. But I think that he thinks these 2 years that went by, you know, he's seen something that, you know, makes him feel comfortable with taking this fight right now. You know, to me, I don't know why. I don't know what he sees. The man didn't get old in 2 years. You know, he didn't take damage in 2 years. But for some reason, if Triple G had knocked out Danny Jacobs, I don't see Canelo taking that fight.
Really? You don't think so?
No. I mean, just like the Charlo fights. Any guy out here that's really knocking people out or seem to be dangerous, I mean, Canelo don't want no part of him. I mean, he fights just as many old guys as people Floyd claim. I mean, James Kirkland. I mean, he's not fighting these guys. This will be his first. And this guy's old.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking that from him, man. I'm just saying, I mean, they get this guy a lot of praise, but I want to see him in there with another 20-something, a Charlo, to be honest. That's what I want to see.
You know,
this is a good fight, and I don't think he's going to make it through this fight. But I would like to see him in there with another young lion and really prove his mettle.
Do you think that, I kind of think it was a mixture of the pressure. I think it was a mixture of pressure. Like, maybe it wasn't just seeing a weakness in Jacobs. I think it was the pressure because, like, Stephen A. Smith, I saw an interview with him where he said that he actually kind of gave, you know, Oscar De La Hoya that grill. You know, he really grilled him. It was like, who's Canelo's next opponent? Don't say anybody else if it ain't Triple G, because, you know, you can't give him that respect if it's not Triple G next.
Absolutely.
And he was like, De La Hoya was like, the fight is going to be made. And lo and behold, the fight was made.
And you made a very good point that we didn't really bring up. There's a lot of outside pressure. This fight been in the making for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, after the Amir Khan fight, Amir Khan called him out, and Virgil Hunter called him out straight out. Virgil said, "This guy went up two weight classes to fight you, and took. And he came up short, but he did it.
Yeah,
it's your turn now.
Yeah,
so it's not like, you know, this is something new.
Yeah, and that was kind of my thought. That was going to be one of my other reasons why I think that he would have taken the fight even if he did knock Jacobs out. If Triple G knocked Jacobs, I felt that he would have had to take it, because if he didn't. Who else are you going to fight? Because, okay, you got Khan, you got Cotto, you got Chavez Jr. Who else in there could you fight?
That's true.
I mean, yeah, you could fight a Lemieux or somebody just to say, okay, Triple G's going to be my next fight. I'm taking on a full-fledged middleweight. But I think after the Chavez fight and that robbery, you know, that people just felt like they were robbed of that fight. They were like, hey, you got to take this guy.
Yeah.
Or you going to lose all your credit.
You got to fight somebody this game, this your size, that's dangerous to you. You fighting guys that we don't.
Yeah.
We don't see no threat to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's not somebody you would consider great. I mean, he's not great yet, but he could be on his way. But you have to do those things to become great. And part of his legacy will be this fight, man.
Yeah, because fans...
Win, lose, or draw. It will be this fight.
Yeah, because fans, analysts, other fighters, they wouldn't be pushing you like this if they didn't think you didn't have the goods.
If you didn't have the goods.
Yeah, they seen you in all these other fights before, and they seen how... You was able to go 12 with Mayweather and not give up. And, you know, you possess this punching power that you still need to test on a legit opponent.
Right.
So, you know, I felt that, yeah, it would definitely have to be Manny.
And think about that. And, you know, how, because that's a big part of it. 90% of it, they say, is mental. And
it's mental.
So if this guy has to get his confidence built up to feel... You know, secure enough to take this fight, that says a lot, because they ain't have to do nothing for Triple G. He waiting.
Yeah, he's just waiting.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And that kind of shows me, you know, I take my hat off to Triple G for that, because, like, his skill set and everything just seems so second nature to him. Mm-hmm. It just seems like the mental game is the most important every time. Like, he's not talking. You know, it's all in his mind, and you could just see it in his face.
But like that's why, and too, 400 and something fights.
Yeah.
Training camps.
That's memory.
Sparring. Yeah. I mean, that man been in a lot of fights. You know what I'm saying? So like you say, just, you know, the experience alone. They say he's in the books for one of the most fighter that has the most fights. I mean, So, I mean, this dude, what does that do to a fighter's ring IQ, you know, all the things that you need to be a fighter, you know, and to have never been knocked down or stopped in over 400 fights. That's impressive, dude.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Let's say a regular person that's been at their job for like 20, 30 years and they know it by heart. You can already see their confidence in their face. You know what I mean? Like when you ask them a question, do they have to go out of their way to prove it? Or do they just kind of like, when you ask them a question, they're, you know, with a confidence, just another day.
Right, exactly.
I'll knock it out.
They not all hyped up. Hey, man, calm down. Make a left, make a right, look up.
Or if somebody asks them a crazy question, they'll smile kind of like he does about certain things. Like, that just shows you his confidence and that mental, like, his mental's on lock. Right? I can't lie, you know.
Right, and he's an older man. He's mature. You know what I'm saying? He's on a mature level than, you know, Canelo, you know. And,
yeah.
So,
because I think Canelo at some point, he's still, I won't say he's growing up, but you know, when you're in the mid,
still immature. Yeah, because dude, you got to realize he's a star. He's had a lot come to him, but he's still young.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still, the stuff has not caught up to him yet. You know, you're a millionaire, you're a star, you're a boxer, but has the mentals caught up with all of that?
With all that, yeah. Because, I can't lie, when I was in my early 20s, mid 20s, that's certain things I don't do now that I used to do then.
Exactly.
And I think there's some things that he still needs to grow up in. I mean, no offense, but yeah.
And mind you, being a millionaire and a superstar makes that stuff, you get away with that stuff a lot longer than me and you, Ant. I mean, we had to stop doing stuff because it wasn't proactive to us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's
up to him to make those decisions, because he don't have nobody telling him, you know, he ain't like, look, man, you need to mature, grow up and pay your bills. His bills paid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's
handling his business. Yeah, he don't got that on his head. Yeah. So he like, I'm growing up when I want to, you know, but you definitely see a difference in the maturity level with these two guys. And maybe that's what it is. And when I say arrogant with Canelo, maybe it's a little immaturity that I see, because he's taking a little snaps like a little kid and saying little smart stuff. You know, Triple G more coming off of the man. You know, the sparring, he helped me, I helped him. He could have easily took props for all that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was a young boy, I punished him. You know what I'm saying? But it's just maturity level. I think that that's what it is, you know. But in, to Canelo's defense, he's dealing with a lot to be a young man. Like I said, he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, and that's that's the one thing, and then you brought up the sparring next. That's the one thing I like more and more about the two of these guys. Like, this happened, 6 years ago, but they both could have gone in on it and made up their, you know, he say, he said this, I whooped his ass, I whooped his ass, you know, or they could have put the tape out.
Right.
You know, they could have actually did that stuff just to cause more drama, but they're both low-key about it. Say, hey, like you said, Triple G say, he helped me out.
Right.
Canelo just said, you know, I'm older now, I'm much stronger.
Right.
It was a learning experience.
You know.
And let's leave it at that.
And that's just the thing about this, about boxing, man. It's rules, it's honor among, you know, within the sweet science, I think, because you never seen that till that Conor McGregor crap came up.
No.
Nobody was never really leaking. Yeah. Now, if some footage came out, it was approved. It was okay to come out.
Yeah.
But you didn't have anybody really putting stuff out there. Another person, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like to have that premeditation, I'm going to be in it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You wasn't seeing that, man, because it's, you know, we, you know, it's a cold, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a cold. Cause like for us, we don't want to see it to see who got their ass handed to them. You know, we want to see it just to see two guys that are both, you know, almost legends, two big stars in the game. We just want to see how they size up and what they learn off each other. You know, like when I saw some footage of James Toney and Gerald McClellan, I pulled that up on YouTube. I didn't want to really just see somebody get knocked out. I just wanted to see them in there and what they, how they kind of fought off each other.
How those styles, you know, did against
you. And you don't really hear James Toney talking about it, you know, saying I did this and did that off of it, you know, so.
And that's just, that's, I mean, you never really heard that though, like I said, in the sport. I mean, it wasn't talked about until, you know. Until that, you know, debacle, but it is what it is, you know.
Right, right. But looking at the business side of it, Canelo taking this fight, I can say that sometimes, you know, like we said, it's been done in the past. Sometimes a fighter does look for that weakness at some point whenever a fighter gets older, or if a fighter may have gotten knocked out, they might want to jump on it at that point, because there was some Riddick Bowe, his old trainer said, Rock Newman, he said something like, you want to go for, when you are a star, his job is to get the most reward, more reward and less risk, which real boxing fans, we kind of on the fence about that, you know. I mean, we don't want to see people get hurt, but we want to see good fights. But like he said, like with Riddick Bowe, his thing was to try to get him most out of a reward with less risk.
Yeah, the most bang for your buck.
Most bang for your buck, you know. And so you can see another day.
And we can understand that. And all we want to see is an evenly matched fight.
Yeah.
We're not saying go in there with somebody twice your size. We're saying go in there with guys your same size, your same level, your same skill set. And we see who the best man. That's all the fans really asking for. We're not asking y'all to go in there and take crazy risks. We're not asking you to do that.
Yeah.
And these guys don't want to fight. And they're fighters. Yeah. They're boxers. Then they don't want to fight.
Right.
That just don't make sense.
Yeah. And once you shine the light on this, I mean, Canelo is a big boy. You know, he looked like he'd be walking around at a bigger weight than the
180, Triple G, 190, maybe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see this guy's midsection. I mean, this guy's wide as hell right now.
Yeah. So this is a perfect matchup.
It's a perfect matchup.
Perfect matchup.
It shouldn't be no excuses after the fight, and, you know, it shouldn't be no excuses.
What do you think, man? You think it's going to spawn a little series, man?
What?
This fight?
Yeah, I mean, guaranteed two fights, but possibly a trilogy. A trilogy. Definitely two fights. And you got to look at it from the business standpoint, too. They're going to make a lot of money out of this fight, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Floyd Mayweather gone, so all these big pay-per-view numbers, people still got to eat, though.
Yeah, everybody.
So they're going to milk this dude. Oh, they're going to milk it, you know, and it's going to make some money because it's going to be worth the money.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like you said, Delahoy knows Mayweather's gone. It's time to make that money. He's still licking their chops now. They like,
he got a salty taste about not getting a dime off that McGregor fight. McGregor, he's trying to come up.
And going to the end of this episode, something that we always talk about, it was just the way he said it, was that they must depend on someone else entirely to reach the pinnacle of their craft, the perfect opponent. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about that?
That's absolutely true, because how you're only as good as your last opponent. So if your last opponent was a tomato can, that don't really say too much about you. So, I mean, every true champion needs that challenge, fighter, whatever realm you're in. If you're a champion, you need that challenge to take you to greatness. That's how the greats have become greats. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Ali fighting George Foreman. People didn't want to fight George Foreman back then. Mm-hmm. He was breaking ribs, bone. Ali got in there and rope-a-doped him. You know, in his mind, he might have didn't know that was guaranteed, but he had the heart to go in there and do that. But you have to do that. You mm-hmm. know, and those are some of the best fights. I mean, mm-hmm. Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. You know what I mean? Yep. Roberto Duran was the hands of stone back then. He was an animal.
Yep.
You know, it was a dangerous fight for Sugar Ray Leonard. You know what I mean? But Sugar Ray Leonard is a warrior.
He took it. I mean, you know, he got handed his first loss, but he's still seen as this Hall of Famer. Exactly. One of the best welterweights of
That's what it's all about. Yeah. You know, like they say, you it ain't about how many times you fall, it's about how many times you get up. So, you know, he took a fall, went, made the game plan, came right back.
Didn't
come back stronger with more power and beat him up, came back with a mental game and won. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about winning. You know what I'm saying?
And to me, that's when I go back and look at all these fighters, I don't look at to see if they have, I don't judge them off having an O, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like being undefeated. I mean, more power to you if you are undefeated, you know, and you fought everybody. But I mean, like, whenever, like Oscar De La Hoya said, these guys were doing the round robin, one of them loses, you still look at him with respect, because he's going to come back and do it again. He's going to still come back and fight another day. So,
I mean, and that's the thing about it, which makes a guy who's undefeated like a special thing, Ant, because it's so easy to lose. You're in here fighting the best of the best. I mean, somebody has to lose. It's only two people. Somebody mm-hmm. has to lose. Yeah. So a guy who's managed to, you know, squeak through the game undefeated, you have to look at that, you know, from top to bottom. You can't say, well, his last fight was about this, mm-hmm. you know, from top to bottom, and really give this guy the credit that he deserves.
Yeah.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather, whoever, Marcian, whoever, you know what I mean? Because it's not easy to do that, dude. Yeah.
Especially from our era, Floyd Mayweather, we know that he had guys like, that just shows you how gifted he was. He had guys that could have given him that hard time, but that's how good he was.
Yeah, I mean, he fought the names.
Yeah, out of 49 fights, come on, somebody in there was a tough challenge, you know what I mean?
There's no way.
Just that he perfected his craft looking back at the other fighters. So, and I mean, that's what happens with history. Once you learn the game, you know how to adjust to it and not take the same type of punishment, you know?
Right. And the thing about, too, a fighter is really knowing when to get out.
And when to get out.
Had Roy got out before Tava, we wouldn't be looking at Roy the way we look at Roy now. Yeah. And by no means do we look at him in a disrespectful way, but it's just, it's still kind of, I mean, it hurt a lot of people, to be honest, Roy
go. It hurt me,
He went out. But I'm just saying, had he mm-hmm. knew when to get out, he would be going down as one of the greatest. I mean, Floyd would be up for debate with saying mm-hmm. he's the gold and all of this. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Yeah. 24/7 is always a good show. I think it's one of the best boxing documentaries. Is there anything else you had to say about this episode, man?
No, man, let's go ahead on to the keys of victory, man.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take a look at the keys of victory for this fight. Since, you know, you got the undisputed middleweight champion, I'll let you start off, man.
I mean, to me, Triple G, he has a solid jab, but he has to come in early and, like, assert that dominance over Canelo, you know, put that jab in his face, a hard jab, not just a petty jab, and just do what he normally does, apply pressure, cut the ring off, and seek, destroy. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what I see. You know, it's not a whole lot to it. And I mean, because Triple G, the thing is, people don't give him a lot of props. He got the footwork. He's got a lot of things that people don't realize that he has. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line, we want to see him getting there, cut the ring off, you know what I'm saying, and hunt this guy down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's going to happen Saturday night.
Yeah. For me, I think that Canelo, he has to let Triple G be Triple G, like you said, be that fighter that stalks and comes forward and kind of let him think he's going to play into like some of his past opponents, which I don't know if Triple G is going to do. You know, I don't think he's going to think he can just walk him down. So, but that's what Canelo's going to have to do. Let him fall into that game plan where he thinks he's just going to walk him down. And he's basically just going to have to be the boxer in this one. You know, he can't trade with him. You know, no point in the fight he should trade with him. He has to me, he has to do what Floyd did to him.
Yeah.
But with his skill set, you know, Floyd used his feet a little bit, you know, shoulder roll. I think Canelo, he has good head movement, so he has to be a little bit in the pocket, but not so much in the pocket. Kind of give him that sleight of hand, give him that range where, kind of like James Toney, kind of make him think he's there, but he's not there.
Right.
I think he has to kind of depend on his head movement in this fight.
Let me ask you a question, though, Ant. Canelo is supposedly a good fighter off the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the ropes are a good place for him in this fight? Where do you think he should fight in the middle of the ring or on the ropes?
I think the fight has to be in the middle of the ring. Now, if he gets to the ropes, he's going to have to fight off the ropes just to get the respect from Triple G. Mm. Like, if he gets in the corner any chance, he's going to have to fight off of. Don't run, don't hug him, don't clinch. You got to fight him off the ropes to make him respect you. But he's going to have to keep the fight in the center of the ring.
Absolutely.
He's going to have to dictate the pace. He's going to have to use those quick combinations that he uses. And most of all, he's going to have to use that uppercut for the way Triple G kind of leans forward a little bit when he's, you know, that high guard. He's going to have to use that uppercut. And he's going to have to go to his body. You know,
Canelo's got some good body punches. That's going to be the main thing.
Yeah.
That's his only chance, really, going to the body.
You're fighting a 35-year-old man. So you got to take his legs away.
That's his only shot. And he's a smart kid, so we'll see what he comes up with. But he definitely better stay off the ropes, right?
Yeah, he got to stay off the rope.
Now, they claim he's a good fighter off the ropes against mediocre competition.
Yeah.
Floyd's fought top-notch competition off the ropes and been good. That's when you say somebody's good off the ropes.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that he's good off the ropes. Mm-mm. And I promise him he don't want to be on the ropes come Saturday night, and that's not going to be a good place for him.
Good is Ali Foreman. Good is James Toney and Rand Barkley. Canelo, like I said, Canelo, we got to forget those past opponents.
Right. This is something. And I mean, he may become a good fighter off the ropes, but I'm not ready to give him that now to say that that's one of his strengths right now, fighting off the ropes.
No, this ain't a guy that you want to
fight. Yeah, it depends on the fight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This ain't a guy that you want to, you know, try to get experience now. No, you in the fight of your life, so you got to do what you got to do to win. Like when Floyd fought him, Floyd didn't fight off the ropes all the time. He didn't try to trade with him either. Right. He said, I'm going to do what I do best. And that's box the hell out of you.
He's a big boy. Why go in there and try to play his game with a big boy? You know what I'm saying? So that's what Canelo got to realize.
Mm-hmm.
Triple G may be the bigger man that night. I mean, maybe not by much, but for the first time, Canelo will be the smaller man.
He's going to be the smaller
Triple G has the reach advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he has the better footwork. I mean, Canelo's flat-footed. I mean, he need to work on some head movement, you know, but it's just a dangerous fight all around, dude. It's just, I just don't see no way you can go and be safe.
Yeah.
I don't see no way you can go and be safe. And you get on the bike, he going to cut the ring off. You try to exchange with him, it's going to be a problem. You in the inside, that's not guaranteed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting on the outside, he got the reach advantage. It's just, it's any way you look at it, it's a landmine where they go off.
And just for fans out there that that say Canelo's going to win this fight easy. Look, I'm team Canelo, but this is a 50-50 fight. And you think he's just dealing with a puncher? Golovkin's not a puncher. He's a boxer that can punch. Mm-hmm. So people that watch his fights, go back and watch his footwork. Like when you say he has the better footwork, he does. Because you got to see how he's cutting the ring off. I mean, if Golovkin was just a puncher, this would just be Canelo versus James Kirkland all over again. Right. You know, Golovkin, he's waiting. You know, he's waiting for that big open. He knows how to move you with his feet. You know, right. That ring generalship.
Yeah. 400 and something fights, man. Some you fights, know, yeah, comes so natural. Yeah, it's yeah. natural, dude. Yeah. That's something you can't train for. You can't buy. A trainer can't give you, man. Yeah, so it's just a lot of things that he got in the pocket, man.
So literally, it's like a walk in the park for him. He's like, I did this so many times. Right. I'm going to line him up for this hit. Absolutely. So that's another key for Canelo is to take his footwork away.
Yeah. If he can. If he's able to. I don't know if he's that smart. He's smart. I don't know if he's that smart.
You think you got to... the ability to use angles on him, man, to try to get out of those moments when he like squares him up.
I mean, I don't get athleticism when I look at Canelo. Mm-hmm. He's not stiff and robotic, but he's not, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. He's going to have to try to get some different angles. He's going to have mm-hmm. to try to, I don't know. I'm not used to really seeing him
just mostly,
too many angles, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of lateral movement, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. It might be something he's been working on.
Yeah, I mean, you know? That's the thing. And we know that they're leaving no stone unturned for this fight.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. People, they don't do this, they don't do that. Whatever they didn't do, they worked on it for this fight mm-hmm. to make sure that they got all their weapons. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's too much on the line. It's too much. The fight is too dangerous for you to say, oh, man, it's too dangerous, man, for either guy.
Yeah. Same like you said off the air with Triple G. He's probably been working on the inside fighting because people say, you know, inside.
Yeah, if people say that, you know, it's nothing for Abel. You think Abel didn't spot that? You know what I'm saying? If regular people were saying that, you know, mm-hmm. Abel, I'm sure he peeped it and said, hey, maybe this is something you need to work on. Maybe not. We don't know. He might feel like the inside game you got is enough. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
And especially after the Jacobs fight, you know, like Jacobs was using the angles on
him. Angles like crazy, but he's slick. But that's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah. That's why I say
but he's slick.
Jacobs is slick. Yeah. You can't train for that.
It's either in your style.
First of all, you need a brother. You need a brother to train you, first of all. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just a cultural thing, to be mm-hmm. honest. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? But those angles is what it's was important. Working for Jacobs, that lateral movement, that, you know, that's what was working. Mm-hmm. You know, Triple G just kind of coming straight forward, no head movement, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you give them angles and stuff, you know, able to land some stuff that, you know, he ain't really ready for. But it's just like, to me, Ant, you know, like they say, a fighter has to get up for fights. Now, if you want a knockout streak like this dude, what was motivating him? You know what I'm saying? So people got to look at some of his performances. I mean, he wasn't really getting up for these fights. It was no money on the line. Was no mm-hmm. big notoriety on the line. Was no big name.
Right.
This right here is a fight that, like I said, is worth him getting up for. And I just really see him bringing his A game mm-hmm. that night. And the only way Canelo survives if he bring his A++ game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and that's what makes this fight exciting and kind of scary, because it's like, what is Triple G's A game look like? You know, what does it look like? I mean, we've seen what he's done to these opponents, but it's like, okay.
It's like what we said earlier, and how you fighters, you compliment each other. You bring, Canelo's going to make him go to another level.
Yeah,
he's going to make Canelo go to another level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the scary part about mm-hmm. it. And they're both dangerous already, but in their minds, they know that he's going to bring the best out of me. It's going to be scary that night, man. It's going to be scary, man. I ain't going to lie. It's going to be scary, dude.
It is. And
you know,
I think both guys are deserving of this fight. I mean, Canelo, he's fought so many different styles, but this is the guy that's got to make his legacy. You know, mm-hmm. it's the fight that he's got to take. And for Triple G, I'm glad he's getting the fight, because he stated in the past, like most recently when they got to Las Vegas, he was like, I want big fights, man.
I've been waiting for a big fight. He said, I've been waiting for a big fight.
He said, I wanted Felix Sturm.
Yeah.
I wanted Sergio Martinez. I wanted Cotto, but I couldn't get him. it just sounded like I feel for him.
Like we talked about prior to that last episode, I mean, he had that burnout Hopkins route. You know, it wasn't nothing handed to him, man. So it was like he'd been waiting this whole time for one big fight.
Yeah.
One big fight, and he finally getting it. So, I mean, to have the patience, like I say, he's like a lion, just quietly stalking, waiting, being patient. And now it was time to go in for the kill.
Yeah, and the more and more I look at him and hear him, I'm like, I can kind of understand him not moving up in weight. I mean, he wanted to stay at a weight and dominate.
Right.
Like guys like Hagler, Carlos Monzon, Bernard Hopkins. He wanted to, maybe he'll do that after, you know?
Like, yeah, but, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you're supposed to wipe out a division first and solidify everything, get the belts to me before you start moving to another weight, unless it's something you can't do anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, stay at one weight, dominate that weight class, get the belts, and then move on. Then I mean, you flipping and flopping and going to this class, that class, that's not really, you know, doing anything.
Right.
You know, so I respect him on that. Like you say, Marvin Hagler was a middleweight forever.
Yeah.
You know, some of these, those guys stayed in one weight class. I mean, it was guys going up and stuff, but I mean, some of those guys stayed at that weight their whole career. I mean.
And shoot, that's a topic we might have to talk on later. I mean, does greatness, do you make greatness by moving up, or can you be great in one division?
I mean, that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show. We have to make sure we get on that, because that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. But you ready to make a pick, man? I mean, how you think the fight's going to go?
My prediction is Canelo getting stopped, man. He getting stopped inside 10 rounds. He getting stopped, man. That's, like I said, a lot of fighters ain't giving Triple G a shot. You know, Floyd Mayweather said Canelo going to knock him out. Big Floyd, AB, you know, so many guys ain't giving my guy a shot. But that's not going to deter me. Even though these are professional fighters saying this, it's not going to deter me yet, because their eyes see what their eyes see and my eyes see what my eyes see. And I see Triple G stopping him, man, for a lot of different reasons. For one thing, it's kind of like the big brother, little brother. You know, he going to get in there and, like, show the little brother you still a little brother. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that dynamic is kind of playing in Canelo's mind. Like, oh, this is big Triple G. I'm a man now, but still the big bad wolf, you know. So we're going to see Saturday night, man. I'm just saying, it's a lot of things. I think Triple G is going to wind up stopping him for a lot of different reasons. Not just the power, not just Canelo being a, you know, not the better boxer or whatever. It's going to be a combination of things, and I think he's going to get stopped, man. You know, I mean, it's not going to take nothing away from him, because this guy stops people. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
That's what, like, he does.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah. I think I have to go with, because this is going to be an explosive fight, I probably said Canelo by, he's either going to stop him in the later rounds, like 11, or he's going to pull out a decision.
Yeah.
And I mean, for him to pull out a decision, he's going to have to do those things that I said, you know, not exchange with him. He's going to have to be the guy with the hand speed and the guy that keeps it in the center of the ring and the guy that makes Golovkin wait.
But so, can he do that for 12 rounds, though, man? Not being a slick fighter. If it goes 12, yeah, he's a Golden Boy fighter. It's Golden Boy judges. Yeah. Canelo getting it if it goes 12. But
it can be done. I mean, I got to say respect to Jacobs. He did it. You know, he went 12 with it.
He was slick, though. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what got him 12.
That's what got him 12.
Can Canelo try to, can he make it 12? You know, that's what got Daniel Jacobs 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the chin ain't 100%.
No.
You know what I mean? So knowing you ain't, and you still made it 12, that say a lot for his slickness. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, man.
But, Canelo ain't Danny Jacobson. Can he go for 12 and with the pressure? The Triple G gonna be coming with cutting off the ring. It ain't gonna be a lot of places to hide. The ropes, you bet to stay out the ropes. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, man. You know what I mean?
I have to go with stoppage, man, just because I think that it's going to be explosive in the center of the ring. And I think Canelo's size is going to play a factor in it. Just the way he throws his punches. I think that, you know, I think he is a gifted fighter. I think he has a little bit of that De La Hoya in him. And I think he's definitely going to give us some rounds where they are going to exchange, you know, but he's got to make sure that's in the later part of the fight whenever Golovkin gets tired. So I think he's just going to have to depend on, that's going to be his main focus, just to land those good hard shots and just take that jab away. And, you know, hopefully he can add him up and stop him in the later round or just come away with that decision. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say, man. I'm just ready to see it now. That's pretty much all I got to say on it.
You know, it's a thousand different, you know, perspectives out there and opinions and whatever. But Saturday night, it's gonna be facts, like I said earlier. So,
I mean, without a doubt, we know it's gonna be a
good fight. And that's another thing I wanted to say to you, and before we forget, you know, I wanted to put it out there that at the end of the day, dude, it don't matter. And this is to the people that's listening. You know, at the end of the day, it don't matter to us who win the fight at the end of the day, to be honest. We just appreciate these type of fights being made. It's going to be a good fight Saturday night, and that's what the fight fans want to see, no matter who wins. You know, I mean, if Triple G wins, I don't get a dime for it. I'm not betting on it or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, that's my guy. I've been a fan of his for a couple of years, and we just making, you know, and he's Team Canelo. At the end of the day, we just look for a good fight, and we're going to get a good fight Saturday night. I mean, Ant, you know, tell him, Ant, we could go for days talking. You know, we got to cut ourselves off because, I mean, this what we love to do. Yeah.
We're talking an hour before this.
So, but, you know, on that note, that's all I really got, you know, for this episode. And,
Yeah,
I'm ready for Saturday, man.
Same here. I mean, shoot, I'm ready for Saturday. It's on HBO pay-per-view, so I'm definitely going to be watching this. So,
We do want to give a shout-out to all the supporters, all the people that
always
been showing us love and stuff. You know, we do see it, and we just trying to do what we love to do, y'all, you know?
Yeah, definitely shout-out to everybody on Facebook, you know, and all the listeners on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris, you know, Chris Mac Radio, you know, just like I say, everybody that's showing us love, and we like overwhelmed, blown away by it. So we appreciate that.
Oh yeah, always. But that's all we got for this Jab podcast. So, and you can check us out at thejabeffect.com, or you can go to iTunes and subscribe there, Just Absolutely Boxing, and just type that in or type in Jab podcast and make sure you subscribe there. Or you can follow us on SoundCloud, type in Jab Podcast. You can subscribe, hit like on the episodes, make sure you follow us. You can also like us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can follow us there at thejabeffect.com. Again, my name's Anthony.
It's your boy P.
And we are signing off. We'll see you later after this fight.
We out.
Peace.